Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Didn't you love me? All right, whenever you hear OAR singing that song, it means it's time to talk to our boy, Eric Nathan, Barstool Nate, Little Nate X. What up, Nate Dog? How are you, buddy?
Guys, it's the first Tuesday in a long time that we have a little bit of sadness in our voices. It was a hell of a season. It was a fun season. It was so great to talk to you guys every Tuesday after a Sunday or Monday night win, which we had a ton of. And it's January 28th, and I just cannot wait for next season to start. I don't care about the draft. I don't, you know, it. No off-season stuff will get me through the off-season. I'm just ready for the season to start again, and I have never felt this way in my life.
B and I were talking about it this morning. Like, not only is it the end of this wild run for the Burgundy and Gold, it's also just about the end of football in general. And both of those things are sad, and yeah, they kind of combine for this gut punch. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, this awesome year was so cool, and it ended in a real crappy way in Philly. And so there's that, and then you're like, oh, dude, there's only the Super Bowl left, and the Eagles are in the Super Bowl. Like, it's just like there's a lot of factors.
Yeah.
So after the game, you know, I was sad. I was down. It was like, wow, the season's over. This stinks. But then you start reflecting and you start thinking that we just went to the NFC Championship game in Jaden's rookie year. And I think we're still not talking enough about that. And I don't think we could ever talk enough about that. It's not like this was year five and we broke through and got to that NFC Championship game. It was year one. And we went to the NFC Championship game, one game from the Super Bowl, in year one. So there's a lot to be happy about. There is a lot to be optimistic about. And that's why it's like the football is not over. In some ways, it's just beginning. Mm-hmm. Because if we want to look at it on the flip side, now we get to continue building the team, building the roster, free agency, the draft, et cetera, and then come back with, you know, a very updated, upgraded roster for next season coming after going to the NFC freaking championship game. So it's stinks the season's over. It stinks the Eagles are in the Super Bowl. There's no denying that every single scumbag Eagles fan deserves nothing but sadness and terrible things to happen to them. Mm. But we have a lot of good things coming. I think we'll be back. I don't think this is a fluke. I've seen that word flying around your station. Yeah. I don't think this was a fluke.
Not from our program.
I agree with you 100% on that, Nate.
But I think this is a sign of good things to come, not a flash in the pan, not a remember that time we went to the NFC Championship game. I think the answer to that will be which one, not, oh, yeah, I remember.
Hey, as you look at the season, like, you know, it's things you look at and you take it with you and it kind of gets you over it and it can take care of you till the season starts again. Then you look for something else. What will be that one thing?
That I'm looking forward to or looking back on?
What do you look back on that's going to be able to take you towards next year until that season starts? Because it's going to be something that you got to hold on to.
Just so many great moments from this season, right? Like the Bears Hail Mary happened, you know, like the beatdown of the Cardinals and the Panthers and the Browns, that three straight weeks where we all looked at each other like, oh, this team's for real. Just Jaden in general, just progressing and improving week after week, his pinpoint accuracy, his poise, his demeanor, and just the way he was able to put this entire team on his shoulders, a roster that many experts in the field called a bottom five roster in the league, and led us to, you know, the NFC Championship game. And it's just, there's so many good things to look back on that we did not expect to be looking back on right now, or, you know, maybe even next season. We didn't expect to get here this quickly. It looks like Cliff is going to stick around. It looks like, you know, it looks like a lot of great things from this season will carry over to next season. And the schedule might be a little harder, but our roster is going to be better. So I really expected this to be the norm. You know, I don't expect this to be an overachieving year. I expect this to be, this is who we are. This is what our culture is. This is what our franchise is. Let's continue this in the next season.
Talking with our friend Barstool Nate here from Barstool Sports. You can follow all his work at Barstool Nate on X and Instagram. I am hesitant to get too far down the road of like, yeah, NFC title games become the expectation, right?
Sure.
Every year is its own entity, but I think it's hard to look at what Jaden did this year and think it won't be replicated. Mm-hmm. And I think if people try to look too much at the, you know, all the one score games and all that, they coach that. They teach that. They work on that. I thought after the Chiefs game.
You know who does a lot of one score games? The Chiefs.
Yeah.
And they have become the standard.
You know who does a lot of one score games? Good teams.
Yes.
Because why does everybody love the Red Zone channel? Because from 3:30 to 4:30 every Sunday,
highlights.
There's five or six crazy-ass games coming down to the wire.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the league, dude. The league is built for every team to go 8-9 or 9-8. And what changes that is really good players making big plays and big opportunities. And frankly, I think Washington got one of those guys now.
Yeah, and I'll add on that. A coach who understands time management, clock management, end-of-game management to put the roster in a position to win the game. We saw it all season. Bad coaches can screw their teams out of opportunities to win the game. Our coaching staff gave this team opportunities to win those close games. And then through talent and then Will and Jaden Daniels, they did it. They won all those close games that over the last 10 seasons we lose. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yo, I agree, man. And I think we talked about this dude, Dylan Thompson, that they hired as a like kind of player advancement person. The fact that they hired this dude, Dave Gardy, I feel like Sheehan has always talked about this. And I think he nominated himself, but maybe it wasn't. But there has been this theory that coaches should hire someone to manage clock, when to go for it, all of that stuff that comes up in the moment, in games, that frankly is really hard to keep a wrap on because you have so much other stuff going on.
Yeah.
Washington did that, and I feel like nobody talked about it, and it made an impact all year in Dave Gardy. Like, they hired him away from the league to come in and run that stuff.
But
it was a big deal.
The coach that does it has to also be one that's willing to listen.
Got to put your balls on the line.
Because most coaches in the moment, they don't want to hear a damn thing.
Sure. That's a great point.
And that's how we got here. And I'll shout this from the mountaintops. It's from the top down, from Josh Harris down. He trusts Adam Peters. Adam Peters then goes out and hires Dave Gardy. Then Dave Gardy is in Dan Quinn's ear, and Dan Quinn trusts Gardy because Gardy's trusted by Peters, and Peters is trusted by Josh Harris. And they're all aligned. They're all on the same wavelength. And that's how we won games. You're 1,000,000,000% correct. Everybody, there's no turmoil. There's no leaks. There's no drama. There's no egos. Everybody's on the same page to help this team win football games. And everybody this season did their job and did their role so perfectly and just allowed this roster that's going to look much different in the next couple of years, because this roster is, frankly, not that good. We know this, and I think they know it, but everybody did their job to perfection. It was always next man up. It was always playing to win the game, playing for each other, and they did it. And it's only going to improve when you get better players in these jobs, you know, that can protect a little better, that can make that first tackle and not allow those extra yards. And despite all of that, let me say it again, NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Like, we were just there. It's not like we squeaked into a wild card game. We went on the road in Tampa, kicked their ass, went on the road to Detroit, outcoached them in every single way, and kicked their ass. It's like, that's what this team is now. Will there be bumps in the road? Absolutely. Maybe we lose two games in a row next season and people start throwing around the fluke word again. I don't want to hear any of that. This team and franchise and front office and organization is set up for just the foreseeable future. As long as Jaden is Jaden and Adam Peters is Adam Peters, I trust 1,000,000,000% that we have now set a new expectation in Washington.
Mm. I agree with you, man. I think things have changed dramatically. I don't want that to be – I think we've got to remind ourselves how incredibly difficult it is to go on these types of runs and
yep.
celebrate what they did rather than immediately be like, all right, well, next year the Super Bowl's in Santa Clara, so let's book tickets. Because, you know, other teams that are well set up are going to try to kick everybody's ass too.
Yeah.
Seattle, I like Mike McDonald a lot. I think there's smart other teams out there. Like, it's Game of Thrones, man. And everybody's got their own little city-state, and they're going to try to kick your ass next year. So you got to, like, keep the big picture in mind.
I like it.
But you got to like where they are.
It's changing. It's going to change quicker than we think.
Right, dude. Totally. Like, I don't know if Jordan Love is regressing. I think the Rams could be really freaking good next year with that front seven they've got that's so young. I think it'd be silly to give up on Detroit. I don't think Philly's going anywhere. That's just the NFC, right? Like, but I think Washington has established they are a playoff contender.
You're no longer looking at Washington as a team that, oh, they just floating around. No, they are a contender.
And
that's all you need.
They talked about this yesterday, and I think what I had always stressed was organizational alignment. Was Harris hires AP, hires the coach. They all agree on the quarterback and work to develop the quarterback together. And that had never happened here because you had ownership getting involved. And then when there were young quarterbacks, you had members of the front office not fully buying in or the quarterback not full. I mean, think about how it went wrong with Kirk, how it went wrong with Robert. I mean, you go further back to Jason Campbell, who had like 17 offensive coordinators in four seasons.
Every other offseason.
Right. Like Patrick Ramsey. Damn near got concussed every third play. Like, the organizational alignment never occurred until this year. And then you drop on top of that, oh, wow, Jaden immediately can play and looks like the absolute truth going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is where you should be right now. We got time for free agency and draft picks, but, like, it's okay just to be at this point.
Reminisce.
Not even... It's like, not even 48 hours old.
It's not 48 hours old, but I think, you know, it's – you got to get through that point of truly admiring what they did, then move on. You know, I don't think right now we should be automatically jumping to what's going to be happening in 3-4 months. You got to talk about it then.
The only difference is it's not 3-4 months because they played so late into the year.
But about 2 months. Yeah. 1 month, 2 months. So we're going to be able to talk about it in about a month. We need to talk about it, and they have to talk about it again.
The thing that could happen now, Nate Dogg, is coaching. There's going to be – we know there's going to be roster turnover, but that doesn't happen until mid-March. The coaching stuff's going to happen now. I don't think Cliff's going. Are you concerned about Cliff going?
No, it's definitely a possibility, but you're talking about to New Orleans?
Yeah. I don't see it, but I don't know.
I don't see it either, but, you know, things happen quick in the NFL. It could happen, snap your fingers. But, no, it looks, knock on wood, it looks like we've retained Cliff, which I think is huge, just for Jaden's development, for the offense to remain on the same page. I think the offensive line, for as, you know, ragged as the offensive line was at times this year, I think just them being comfortable in Cliff's offense and just, again, it's all just everybody being on the same page and them being able to run it back next season, I think that's extremely important.
I agree. If I was Cliff, I wouldn't be leaving for New Orleans. That doesn't do much for me. I'm not Cliff, though, so who knows? And the opportunity to be a head coach of the NFL is incredibly intoxicating.
Yeah.
I don't think he goes, though. And one thing Brian and I talked a lot about yesterday, and I'm curious if you land here too, the turnovers were a major problem. The refs were bad. But I think Philly proved they're the better team.
Yep.
And I think Washington's goal now is to build a team that can beat Philly regularly, right? Yeah. Bless you. And just, all right, what is Philly? Big and strong on both lines.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Washington needs to get to.
That's how you win.
Yeah, and let's remember, and you know I don't like bringing this up. You know it pains me to bring this up, and I don't like harping on it, but Ron Rivera was a terrible drafter, and this is a team without first-round draft picks. This is a team that took Emmanuel Forbes and Jamin Davis and Jahan Dotson. This is a team that no longer has Chase Young or Montez Sweat. These are all first-round picks that aren't on the roster anymore. This is a team that just made it one game from the Super Bowl without guys like, you know, on the offensive and defensive line like the Eagles have. Like you just said, this is a team without a Jalen Carter. You know, this is a team that doesn't have the game-changing players that the Eagles have. We have some guys. We don't have all the guys. And the Eagles are just absolute dogs in the trenches. On both sides of the football, they are just absolute warriors. And they, you know, what do you want to say? They outpowered our guys and just is what it is. Sometimes talent overcomes everything else. And the Eagles simply had more talent, and it showed. And I don't think that's anything to be embarrassed about or ashamed about. This was year one of the rebuild. After Ron Rivera screwed this team up through the draft for five straight years, it is what it is. I think we just have to accept that. I think our guys battled valiantly?
Valiantly.
That word, yeah. And they have nothing to be ashamed of either. But it's just at some point, you know, having a bunch of first-round picks on the team like the Eagles do is going to be better than our team that doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, let them build. Let them build. Nate Dogg, I've never said this after a football season. Your hope and optimism and positive prognostications were all proven correct, bro.
Yes, sir.
We've been doing this for 4 or 5 years, so you know you're 1 of 4. But hell, you nailed it this year, dude.
I mean, I want to give myself credit.
I'm shocked you want to give yourself credit.
No, for riding and dying with everybody, though. Like it was. I really put myself on the train tracks as the train was coming for guys like Carson Wentz and not Brady Quinn, whoever that wide receiver, Trey Quinn, and just guys like that.
You lost us on those, Nate, be honest.
We needed to find somebody at some point.
But
and we finally
you need to be
did,
truthful to yourself, too. Those people were not the people.
They weren't. They certainly weren't. But now we're building with the people. We have the quarterback. We have the GM. We have the coach. We have the front office. We still have Terry, who is absolutely amazing. We have a bunch of salary cap room. We have a bunch of guys coming off the books, you know, for next year. So, yeah, it's a fun time to be us.
I like that. It's a fun time to be us. Thank you, Eric.
Appreciate you, buddy. Cool, brother.
Hey, it's been a great football season. Shout out to all the millions and millions of your listeners who have tuned in every Tuesday. And let's keep this going. And when we talk on January 28th of next year, hopefully, we'll be talking about our favorite restaurants in San Francisco.
All the Nataholics. I'll tell you the truth. Santa Clara is about 90 minutes south of San Francisco.
Way down there.
Well, let's find a good restaurant in San Jose. All right, dude?
That sounds amazing. I love San Jose.
See you, buddy.
See you guys.
Hi, bro.
That's our guy, Nate Dogg. And listen, Nate's talking about next year's Super Bowl in Santa Clara. But let's be real. The best time of year for football is finally here. The big game has arrived, and fans are excited to see who will be hoisting the trophy in New Orleans. You can get in on all the action at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Check out their big game giveaway promo for your chance at $1 million in prizes. 25 winners will walk away with 10 grand, 10K in cash, and 7,500 winners will get $100 in bonus bets. There's no deposit or bet required. Opt in today at the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for...
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Detail. Slashed out here, slashing. All right, Brian. Something I wanted you to hear. I'll be honest, I haven't heard this yet. I saw it on Twitter and I saw some folks reacting to it. Shout out to Jeff out here practicing sex aerobics in the break. Jeff's talking about opening his own sex aerobics studio. I think Adam Pohl's going to be one of his instructors. We'll get to that. Also saw Wendy. Wendy's here for a Wendy Knows Sports segment.
Oh, boy.
We'll get to that. But I wanted to. I wanted us all to hear. Has anyone heard this RG3 audio about Sunday's game? I have not yet.
When he was running?
No, this is from Kay Adams either this morning or yesterday.
Okay, I know.
This is just Robert talking about the NFC title game. All right, here we go. We're all in it together. Robert Griffin III.
I'll say it this way, because you have to be critical and constructively critical of the teams, even if you love the team. So for Washington, I feel like we were outcoached. We got outclassed. And at the end of the day, it was heartbreaking to watch, because when you look at Jaden Daniels and him having the greatest rookie quarterback season of all time, and just the excitement around the city, the excitement within the building, it was quickly crushed. And Kay, let me take you down a story road of what it was like in the building for the Commanders this week. All right, they're coming out. They come off a big win against the Eagles in Week 16. And the coach is telling them, all right, guys, this guy, Saquon Barkley, has run for 146 yards, 150 yards, and us in back-to-back games. This is what you call a gut check type of game. You got to let him know on the first play of the game that it is not happening today. And then Saquon Barkley and his McThickums ran for a 60-yard touchdown on the first play of the game, crushed everybody. And at that moment, it almost felt like the game was over. Because they had been talking about it all week. You got to stop the run. We got to do this. And they couldn't do it on the first play. And in his first two touches, he had two touchdowns. So for me, that was crushing to watch. It was heartbreaking as a fan. And as an analyst, the last thing that popped up was the fact that we actually did get back into the game. And it was 14-12. But then Jaden Daniels didn't even touch the ball again. Or should I say, when he touched the ball again, the score was 27-12.
Crazy.
We had the fumble, and the Eagles went on two touchdown drives. So it just wasn't meant to be. And Philly had the better roster, and their star players played better in that game.
I think the last thing he said was accurate. Philly had the better roster, and their star players played better in that game.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could say outcoached in a game with four turnovers.
It was basically the turnovers that killed everything. Coaches don't coaches don't coach turnovers. They don't tell you the fumble the ball. So they were outplayed. They took care of the little things. I don't know if you can say they were outcoached.
I don't agree with that.
Four turnovers is the reason that that game was lost.
If you want to say outclassed, I feel like it's a little hot take-ish, but Philly was better.
Come on, who are you dealing with?
But Philly was better, so like I understand that. I also think, dude, it was an 11-point game when Eckler fumbled, right? Mm-hmm. It was 34-23. They score, they get the two-pointer, and then I think they actually forced a punt. They forced a punt. It's an 11-point game.
Yeah.
And they're driving. It's first and 10 at the 20. They hit 16 yards to Ertz. Then they go incomplete to Terry, incomplete to Ertz. They get another first down, third and 10. Daniels connects with Ertz for 13. You're at midfield, and this is halfway through the third. There's still plenty of time in this thing. And it's first and 10 at the 49, and you're down 11 in the third quarter. That is completely a game. First and 10 at midfield, you're down 11. That is a ball game. And then there's a fumble.
Yeah.
And after that, they score again. That, to me, was the big swing. It was 34-23, fumble, six plays later, 41-23.
Yeah.
But, like, that was – I mean, Philly scores to go up to 41 in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
I don't know. I think that's a little too much. And obviously the end of that game got away from them, understandably. Yeah. I'm not acting like it was closer than
– No.
But
you have four turnovers in the field of play like you're doing. I mean, three turnovers for sure. Where you had them at, you're going to have problems.
Nine penalties.
You know?
I don't know that there was anything wrong with the scheme. I think they moved the ball pretty well. I mean, they put up 350 yards of offense. The run game has fallen apart for this team over the last 6-8 weeks. They were able to run the ball well in Detroit, but that was it. I think so much of this offseason is going to be focused on what does Philly do so damn well is they're big and strong on both lines of scrimmage. Yeah, dude. And I think what is when Peters was in San Fran and they were going to those Super Bowls, what did they do really well?
Same things. I think we've gotten so caught up in what football has become. We forget about the things that still help you win games. Run the damn ball, stop the run.
Well, dude, I think football's kind of getting back to that. I mean, think about
I think some teams have gotten back to it.
The
Most
Chiefs,
teams still follow.
Look at this Super Bowl. These are two run-first defense teams.
Yeah.
And they happen to have electric quarterbacks capable of making crazy plays. But I think mobile quarterbacks now are part of the run-the-ball positioning. Like the run the ball theory includes your QB. I mean, if you look at all four quarterbacks
I think
in
it should.
The championship games.
I think it should, but Pat Mahomes been running the ball since he got into the league.
But look
There's
at
nothing
the,
new with him.
Look at this final four. You had Hurts, Daniels, Allen, Mahomes.
But everybody,
all runners.
Every one of those guys have run the ball since they got in the league. Jaden was just here 1 year. But there are most teams out there don't try to do all that stuff. They are trying to throw it around the yard all day. And they don't end up there. Joe Burrow, his team was so great, and he's Hall of Fame because he just throws the ball around. MVP candidate. But they don't win games. So, you know, you can't stop the run, you can't run the ball, you can't win. And the league, they on their own made running backs not valuable. Running backs are still valuable.
Well, I think you got to be one of the best, right? Like, You can't look.
Well, they're playing quarterbacks that aren't the best. So, I mean, let's be real. You might not be one of the best, but if you at least give them a chance, you know, you might. There are some of them that were not paid just because, and they were good. So.
Last year, Henry and Saquon made a huge difference. You don't have players like that that are probably going to come available in free agency this year. But, like, when Bijan comes up, I think Bijan will be the next really interesting test.
How would you know who's available, capable, when they don't get the opportunity most times anymore? They don't lean on them most times anymore. So if you don't give me the ball, then I'm damn sure not valuable.
Well, I don't disagree with you theoretically in the general running back conversation. I'm just saying Henry and Saquon are different. Those are both guys that have proven to be the best in the league, and they both happen to become available at the same time.
And Saquon got better when he got behind what?
A better line.
Yeah. So maybe.
But you agree with me that Derrick Henry and Saquon are a different conversation. They're different,
but I guarantee
you. And hell, you even had Jacobs and Jones.
The little kid out there in the Rams, he is not considered like them, but he is damn effective every game.
The dudes that are currently slated for free agency at the running back position, Aaron Jones, Najee Harris, A.J. Dillon, Nick Chubb, but he's had so many injuries at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying this ain't the class that was available last year.
I understand that.
I kind of would.
Still, they shouldn't be lowballed. Like you're paying all these damn idiot quarterbacks, so pay the damn running backs too.
Okay.
Got to run the ball.
David Aldridge joins us at noon. Nucci's front porch. Everybody knows Nucci.
Yep. Nucci performed at the ball I went to the other night.
Did he?
Yeah.
Dude, he just did a show at the D.C. jail.
He did it at the convention center the other night on Saturday night.
That's great. You got to get Nucci back on. I just saw that on Instagram, man. That's
Nucci, MC Light, Drew Hill.
I don't often say nice things about this building, but I really like whoever's decision it was to start playing music in the kitchen. It's always upbeat. I don't know. I was just listening to Michael Jackson in there. Ready, I want to rock with you.
Put the speaker in the wall in the bathroom, though. Just hanging.
All right.
You ever seen it? It's not like this. It just hangs.
Step two, put the speaker in the bathroom on. Brian, there's a lot of angst about this matchup, Eagles-Chiefs.
Why?
I'm not sure when, and I think a lot of it is like Taylor Swift and like political and just stuff that I have no interest in. But at some point, people have started to hate the Chiefs. People think they get all these calls, and sometimes they do seem to get the calls, but like good teams always seem to get the calls. There was a period in my life where the Maryland-Duke rivalry was probably the most important thing in sports I had, and maybe in my life because I was 20.
People don't like winners, bro.
Right.
You should think that they like winners. When you win, people find ways to not like you.
But
Michael Jordan wouldn't like.
I'll never understand that. But all that said, for me anyway, this is the easiest Super Bowl in the world to figure out who you're rooting for. It's anybody but Philly. Like, I can see it being kind of difficult for you because you have ties to the Eagles, obviously, and you have ties to Andy Reid in Kansas City. To me, anyway, there is no debate who I'm rooting for in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it's Kansas City. What about you?
I would love to see the three-peat. What?
Yeah.
Why? Why?
I refuse to watch another game with the Kansas City Chiefs in it, and I don't want the Eagles to win.
I understand.
Why do you refuse to watch a game with Kansas City?
Correct.
For the same reason, I don't watch the same episode of a TV show 48 times. Like I'm tired.
But
of it.
The TV show just comes on.
I watch
Football, you have to earn your way in, and if they earn their way, why hate on it?
Last night I watched a Seinfeld episode from like 25 years ago.
Yeah, but I'm not going to sit there and watch the same one 8 times in a row. It's just not going to happen.
So will you actually maybe not watch the Super Bowl?
I probably will not watch the Super Bowl.
I am fascinated because while I don't agree with your premise, I've heard that from – it's at least like a popular internet thing, which don't always come to fruition.
Do you think just like all the people that disappeared and wasn't coming back to watch the Commanders, and the stadium was full and all their gear keep leaving. So somebody's buying it. You know, they're like, nobody watches the preseason, but they always have numbers better than the NBA and baseball championship games. So somebody's lying.
Well, I also wonder.
Hey, Lanford, you one of the liars, man? I'm not watching it. And be right there in the front of the TV with his popcorn.
I wonder if ratings will be down, though. I don't know. Jeff, what about you? Do you?
Andy Reid against the Eagles for the three-peat? I will take it. I will take it.
No, there's a baseline of it's a freaking Super Bowl. We're all gonna watch it.
Yeah, that's what it
like,
is.
Period.
Yeah, but I want the Chiefs to demolish the Eagles.
Correct. White Brian?
I will be heavily rooting for the Chiefs.
Okay.
Well, he's a Giants fan, you know.
Yeah, but like...
He don't want anybody from the East to win unless it's the Giants, which is going to happen by 25 years.
I understand
the... He might be my age when he win again.
Dude, I think legit the whole country wanted it to be Bills Commanders. I think outside of anybody that did not have a dog in the fight, if you were a fan of one of the four teams, you wanted your team.
Yeah.
But I think if you were a football fan removed from any of the four teams, if you were a Seahawks fan or a Texans fan or a Dolphins fan or a Browns fan, I think you wanted Commanders Bills.
I'll take Command. I was looking for the Commanders to be in the game. Didn't care who they were playing. Sure. But I ask this question. Am I just the only person in the world that people get caught up in the Taylor Swift stuff? She's just another fan in the stands to me. I'm watching football. I'm not giving a damn about Taylor. So people get so caught up in the Taylor Swift thing, and maybe some ladies came in, some other guys came in because she's around the football. But I have not paid much attention to her. I pay attention to the football.
They do put her on TV a lot.
They put her on TV a lot. But guess what? Just like when I'm walking around when they wasn't putting her on TV and go get a drink, it's the same way. I try to come back for when the plays are starting. And I'm not worried about all that. If they flash up on the TV, I hold a conversation with somebody.
Tony Chaz just tweeted me, 100% not watching Super Bowl, no chance. I want to be clear, Tony. I don't believe you.
You're by yourself, Tony. I'm not going to be with you.
Hold on. This dude, Tony Chaz, is listening to our program where this is a sports talk radio station, and all we do is talk about football. He follows me on social media, which I appreciate. Shout out to... If you want to follow Tony Chaz, it's Antonio SC79. Don't talk too long. Tony's
going to stop following you, Jay.
That's fine, too. Make your own choices. You're lying. Anybody that says they're not going to watch the Super Bowl is lying. You're going to watch the Super Bowl.
The people that are not watching it, don't watch it any year. But you're watching it.
Like,
no, they're going to say they were at a party. They weren't really watching it, though.
Right. Like, there are people out there that don't pay attention to sports. Like, how many people are in the U.S.? 350 million, roughly?
Mm-hmm.
And usually the Super Bowl number is something crazy like 75 million. I don't know. I don't understand.
They can't predict how many people at your house, though. See, if they see my TV on, they're going to go based off how many people live in my house. What if I have a party and I got 100 people there?
Sure. But so, I agree with that. But here's what I find more hard to understand than any of it. The B. Mitch and Finley estimate for United States population is about 350 million, right? Last year's Super Bowl had 125 million people watch it.
In the United States or was it worldwide?
In the U.S.
Okay.
What the hell are the other 200 million people doing? Like, I don't even understand how many.
Probably another 75, 80 of them were right there watching the game with the other people. They just couldn't calculate it.
Okay. So I'll give you 200 million are watching it.
The rest of them are little kids. They don't care.
And I don't think all the 150 million difference is little kids.
Kids, old people, people had to work.
You think that's 150 million? You don't think there's anybody that just doesn't watch? I think there are like hipster, you probably librarian, got some people that vegetarians don't watch, that just don't watch.
But it ain't 200 million people that just don't watch.
Maybe my math's off.
So when you on Super Bowl,
it'd be 150.
On Super Bowl Sunday, everything is basically open. So people are working. They can't watch. And I promise you, if we go check into the offices, they got earplugs in, they got their phone on, they got their little computers on.
So you think
on.
Everybody's watching? I think unless you're really old or a baby.
I think a TV or some apparatus where you can see something or hear is around somebody. Most people.
Bro, there's a lot of people, man. Ryan, the photographer, says, I'm not watching the Super Bowl this year either. I'm a huge football fan, but no thank you this year. James Schneider says, the Super Bowl will be on, but interest waned once the Commanders lost. Commercials have gotten lame.
So in other words, they're telling me they haven't watched Super Bowl for the last 33 years.
Right.
You say, once Commanders lost his so you haven't watched Super Bowl for 33 years, then you're telling me.
Azoma says, I'm not watching the Super Bowl. I'll still have it on because of my son, but I'm not going to watch like I normally do. Hate both teams. So I guess I'll take the Chiefs.
Not going to look at it one time. I don't buy it. I do not buy it.
Yo, left hand up. I'm going to watch the Super Bowl.
I've been watching it. I'll be in the city where it's at, and I'll do what I've done every year.
I'm just letting you know. I'll be home on my couch.
I normally start off at this city. I end up back at home. But I'm not watching just because I love football. I don't just love one team playing football.
Me too. B. Mitchell Finley, David Aldridge joins us next.